learned yesterday what I think to most people is a chiddush. The line of the Gemara, Ilema Bibari, Kitzibura Mayhava Holei Moshe. Gemara says that if a person Bechayav said Tinumana Lishplaini and he dies, so who cares? Who cares? Even if it's Tziburin or Menachin, it's ready to go. Halay Mashach, without a Kenyan, there's no obligation to listen to the wishes of somebody who died. That's the statement of the Gemara. And so we have a Stam Gemara that says that you don't have to listen. Somebody left a Tzava, you don't have to listen. Rashi. Actually, all the Rishonim ask for mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. Rashi says, "Bibari matn is bari b'metalkum yachalak le'etshiyim shachbiyar shay nami masl le'adalei aliva demand the less like mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis." Now, Rashi here is going to hold the opposite of the other Rishonim. Rashi holds here that if you hold mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, it's taka agamar is not going that way. If you hold mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, then you do have to give la'achan nisim. This whole sugi is going, aliva d'man yom, it doesn't hold mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, which means Shitas Rashi is that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis applies. That's the first, we're going to have four Shitas in the Rishayim. The first is Shitas Rashi, which I think is a Das Yachid, that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis applies across the board. We'll see to what extent. And if you hold the full kind of MS, then you do have to do what the most wanted to do before he died. That's Rashi's sheet. And we'll have a similar sheet as Rashi and Yadalad on it base. Rashi will be the Shitasai. So it's clear it's not just this one Rashi, this is Rashi's sheet. Taisvis, the Ramas of the Holy Mashach, asks, Hakaimullah mitzvah kind of MS. I don't think he brings Rashi, usually he brings Rashi. In the middle of Taisus brings Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The Farish Rabbeinu Tam, the Loya Amina Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ha'meis Ella B'Dovar Shehushlach B'Tchila L'Kach B'Yad Shlish. The only time you have to be L'Kayim Divrei Ha'meis is with Mamon that's Hushlash, Mamon that's given in the hands of a third party, and the third party was instructed certain instructions. It was given to a third party, and the third party was instructed. Then we say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. If not, no. Comes out, if somebody died and he left a will, and the will says that I want one of my relatives or friends who's not a Yairish to Yarshin. So according to Rashi, it's mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. The person who l'chayim would have to do it according to Rashi. According to Taisus, you don't have to do it. It's, unless it's Hushlash, you don't have to do it. Because there's no mitzvah to kind of demand mace, only the Hushlash.
You don't need a Kenyan according to Taisus also.
By Hushlash?
Yes.
Yeah, by Hushlash, you don't need a Kenyan. Unless you count that as a Kenyan, the fact that the Shlish is holding it, probably not.
Shlish is
what?
Yeah,
all right, the longest is because he made a Kenyan, or?
Some made a Kenyan, he gave it to
some. Some made a Kenyan, okay. Pashtas, you would have made a Kenyan, but okay. The third Shita is the Ramban in the Ran. The Ran B'Shem Ramban says an interesting Shita. He says mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis is only something that was left b'lashon tava. If a man said, I would like my children, if I pass away, to give money to Pliny, or to give money to Tzedakah, or to give a chelek in Yerusha to my daughters, then you do say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. What about our Mishnah? The Ramban says, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis doesn't mean that you have to do everything the mace wanted to do b'chayav. Let's say a man, Bechayav, he wanted to buy a house. So he said, okay, I'm going to buy a house. He even told somebody, go and give a deposit. And then he died. That you don't have to listen to. That's not a tzava. That's not something he's being a tzava for la'achamisa. He's not saying, do this after I die. He's just the chayav would like to do it. The chayav, he wants to give a gift to somebody. So let's say a man plans to give a gift. Even he wrote out a check and he put money in an envelope to give a gift to someone. And then the man dies. So to Ramban, we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. The chayav, he wanted to do it, and lehispik biyada, he died before he could do it, so it's not done, it's finished. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis is only dafka, something that is mitzvah, that he says, la'achar misa, I'd like you to do this. If he tells somebody, do this, Rabban's lashon is mashmi, even if he didn't mention misa. He just told someone, do it, and then that person is supposed to do it. But just because he himself planned to do it, that's the Ramban Shita, that we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. If he tells someone to buy a house, I assume not. If the house is something he wanted for while he lives. If he's not alive, then not. You know, his children could buy their own house. It's, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis is only like Ramban b'derech tavor. It's something that's mistaver. Yes. Derech tavor is after I die. It seems from the Ramban, the way the Ramban brings it, even if he told his children, give, and he didn't say the Feirish after I die, it would be true also. But certainly, after I die, maybe even not after I die, the problem is the Lashon's mission, of the mission is Tanu, the Mishnah's Lashon is Tanu. But at any rate, the Ramban Shita is, certainly, if it's a Lashon Tava, then you have to do it. Whether it's Dafti, if I die not, if it's Lashon Tava, then it's. But if it's just that the father wanted to do it, so you have to do everything the father wanted to do.
A check is not a
tavor. What?
A check.
It's not a tavor. The father wanted to give the check. The father was planning to give the check. He didn't tell his children, you give it. He intended to give it to the bank. He signed the check. He's allowed to rip it up there. It's just his plan. It's just what he planned to do. He planned to do it, so that's not binding on the children, just because he planned to do it. That's the Ramban Shita. The most extreme Shita is the Ran. The Ran holds that we say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ha-Meis always. We always say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ha-Meis, including in our Mishnah, in our Gemara, by Bari. Gemara says Bari, L'Chinami, you have to do it, also Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ha-Meis. What does the Gemara mean when it says Holay Moshach? Listen carefully. The Ran says the Gemara only means that Pliny wasn't Zeiche yet. When a man leaves a Tzava, that I want Yankel to get $1,000. It's not the pshat that Yankel gets it. The children have a mitzvah to listen to the father. The money goes to the children. Man dies, leaves Yerush, leaves the will. The Ran says, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, you have to listen to the will. But it doesn't mean the children don't get the money. Children get it. They inherit it according to the Dinei HaTorah. And then they have a mitzvah to give it out the way it says in the Tzavah. So it's true the children have a mitzvah. That's not a steer to Agamara. Agamara is just saying that it doesn't happen by itself. The shliach can't give l'achamisa. The man told the shliach, give $100 to Pliny, and then he died. The shliach can't give it. The shliach has no right. The money falls the Yerusha to the children. It falls the Yerusha to the children, and then the children have a job to give it out. But it's not a din in the father. And the Ran has the most mechudish nekeshita. The Ran says mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis is across the board. Just that it's not automatic. It falls to the children, and the children should give it the Yerusha. The truth is that the Ran, and the Ran also says v'nach gemina, the Ran says, if the children are ketanim, comes in the Yerushim are ketanim. Ketanim labnei medin mitzvah, you know, ketanim don't have to do, don't, I'm not mechayiv mitzvahs. So if a man dies and he left the tzava and the Yerushim are ketanim, they don't have to give it away. They don't have to do a mitzvah, so they can hold on to the money. They come to town, but some they'll have to. In the meantime, they could collect rent. If it's a house, they can collect rent. In the meantime, they can earn interest, you know, whatever it is. In the meantime, it's theirs. Be another nafkamina. This nafkamina says in the Ran, Bakatanim. Be another nafkamina, but the Ebed. What happened if the Yarshim yarshined it, and they already sold it? The father died, and he left over a house, and the children, they sold the house. Later, they find a will, and in the will, the father said, I want to give the house to Uncle so-and-so. So now, if they had gotten that savor before they sold it, they would have done. It's still kind of amazing. They would have given it to the uncle. Now they sold it already. So later on, mashamachu machu, whatever, sold the soul. And it's done. It's still kind of amazing. They missed the mitzvah. It's too late. So the shliach doesn't give lachamisa because it doesn't belong to the father anymore. The father told him to do it, so the shliach now doesn't do it. About it, the mitzvah of the children, either they should give it or they should tell the shliach to give it. When you mayan, really the Ran and Rashi sounds very similar. Because Rashi said in our Mishnah that our Mishnah is not going like mitzvah kind of rameis. If you hold mitzvah kind of rameis, then you would have to do Divrei Emes. Hopefully later we'll see that Rashi and the Ran are not exactly similar, but at least the way we're talking now, we're talking about somebody leaves a Tavar. We have basically three shittas so far. Rashi and the Ran both hold you have to listen. You have to do what he said. Pretty much across the board. Whatever he said, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is the same as a chiyuv. That's what we tell him to do it. The Ramban holds that if it's Beloshet Tzavah, you have to do it. If it's Shaloi Beloshet Tzavah, just the father was planning to do it, it's not binding on the children. I think even the Darim, even the father pledged money to Tzedakah. It's not binding on the children. And the Rabbeinu Tam holds, Kamat never is at Mitzvah L'shmaya Devar Emes. Kamat never, only by Hishlish. Only if money is in the hands of a third party. It's the only time that they have to do mitzvah shvay devar emes, only if it's beyond shlish. Now what's very interesting in this three or four machlokes is that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring two shittas. Shulchan Aruch just paskins, hands down, like Rabbeinu Tam. Two places. The main place is the Siman Reish and base of base, just paskins like Tosfos. It's also mentioned in Simin Reish Nun, Sivchav Gimel. In both places, it's we pass like Rabbeinu Tam, which is a very liberal shita lahalachim. It means pretty much that when the father leaves a savar, the children are pi dinei mominis, don't have to listen to the savar, which happens today 99, probably 100% of the time. That Bizman Azeh, usually a father doesn't leave two halakim to a bechar over a pashut. And Bizman Azeh, usually a father wants to give daughters the Yerusha also. Even though he didn't tell the daughters don't yarshin. So it's kamat. Every time a man dies, that there's a desire to do things this way. And it comes out that Unless the father found an eitzah, if he just went to a lawyer, wrote a will, then indeed a chayshe nishpat is not binding on the children. It's not even mitzvah. As mitzvah can't give a mitzvah. What? It may even be not to. Does the Torah mitzvah a father to give double to the Bechar? The Torah just said that if a man dies, it goes to the Bechar. It's a mitzvah of the father. Mitzvah. Mavir. Alright, so this is. Now, of Kibbut Aveim, you have to bear in mind, or because they do Paskin. Now, of Kibbut Aveim, the children still have to listen. Bezdin doesn't have the power to be Klaifin. Bezdin can't force it. But it's not for Mitzvah Kaim Devar Emes. So this is the we push the chiddush the way it comes out from our sugya. That we pass off the benetam, and there's no Now there are a few topics here to touch on. So that's one of the issues. Let's take off first. No, you're right. Make Rashi the other way. The biggest chiddush, which is true. Just one second. Just before that, first a few nekudas. First of all, this is all the halacha. Lamaisa, there's no question that a person is supposed to do what the nifter wanted with his money. The atshuvus about trying to find ways of enforcing it. Rav Moshe held that wills today are binding. It's not clear what Ramesh's opinion was based on. It's also, Reb Chaim Oizer held the same way, that wills today are binding. And this is considered pretty much a Das Yochid. The Ruba of the place can hold the way I told you, that has to be Mushlish. It's not clear, Ramesh didn't write why he held this way. As a matter of fact, most money that people have today, certainly wealthy people have today, is mushlash. Where do people have their money today? Most people have their money in banks, or money market accounts, or in which all list beneficiaries usually, or they write that on his death it will go according to the will, which, if a beneficiary is listed, it's certainly considered mushlash. Every IRA account has listed a beneficiary, which means it's mushlosh v'yat shlish. Taisus loshin was, it's not enough mushlosh. Taisus loshin was mushlosh mitchila lekach v'yat shlish. That when you gave it to the shlish, you had to instruct him what to do l'achamis. Which when you list a beneficiary in a form, that's for sure that it's that way. That's mitchila lekach. It could be that all of these accounts, since they have already the bylaws which list these rules, are that way. This doesn't hold true for real estate. It doesn't hold true for a lot of things, but it holds true for many, a lot of money that people have today is mushlosh biyat shlish, mitchila lekach, with instructions, and therefore, well,
why is
that dina machus? Dina machus does not apply when two yidn have a din tyre. There's no dina machus. If you and I have a din tyre, the machus doesn't mind that we follow Jewish law. Malthus doesn't care if a man dies and he leaves two. But this is not against the Malthus.
What
gets the taxes? No matter who gets it, taxes has nothing to do with who gets it. What? If it goes to tzedakah, then they don't get the taxes. So what? So they're interested in not going to tzedakah. The sakarit, it's they who say that if you instruct the tzedakah, it does so. In other words, they're not increasing the taxes by following Jewish law. They're probably going to increase the taxes, not decrease what they're going to get. The Dina Machlusa doesn't stop things from going up the Dina Torah between two Yidin. First of all, in America, the Machlusa isn't even marketed. If nobody contests it, Yerusha could be given out up the Dina Torah. A will can be contested, but there's no Dina Machlusa that you have to contest it. If a man dies, he left five children. He's Jewish, his kids are Jewish. So Dina Machlusa Dina doesn't say, kids, you're supposed to contest the will. The Machlusa doesn't tell him to contest it. If the father died, and the Bechor gets two halakim, and the boys get, and the girl gets nothing. And everyone's happy, no one says anything. Isn't it? They're not violating Dina Machlusa. Machlusa is not makbid that you don't do it up your Dina Torah. Machlusa just says, if they get into a fight, then we're going to do this and this. There's no Dina Machlusa after they get into a fight.
Girl has to have on her book, she has to write this money off
the tax. That's not true. She doesn't have to inherit. Who says she has to inherit?
Legally, she's supposed to inherit.
That's not true. That's not true. The inheritance could go up in Dina Torah. So as a matter of halacha lemaisa, I don't mean to teach anybody here how to avoid how to make trouble that sisters shouldn't yash. But I do very strongly insist every once in a while to my Baal Bata Mishul is to write what's called a Shtar Chatzi Zachar. Shtar Chatzi Zachar, I'll tell you why it's called Chatzi Zachar afterwards. I'll tell you what the Shtar is. The Shtar Chatzi Zachar is brought in the Rambam. And he calls it, I think, the Takonas Chachmei Sfarad. They instituted such a Shtar. What the Shtar is someone comes to me, he says, I want to make sure my will is binding. What do I do? So I take out a Shtar. The Shtar says, but this man, he's presently alive, who eventually, hopefully when he's 120 years old, will die. What he is doing is right now, we do a Kenyan. And I ask him, how much is your Yerusha worth, roughly? So everyone doesn't want to admit it. But let's say he says $5 million. Okay? His Yerusha will be worth $5 million. Okay? I write in this Shtar, I figure the Yerusha will be worth more by the time he dies. So I write $10 million. I write, this man now is going to make a kinyan. He's mechayiv himself a chayiv to meet the rabbi of $10 million. Good deal. He's mechayiv himself to meet $10 million. But tonight, the tanai is if the yarshim follow his tava, then the chayiv is not chal. The chayiv is not chal. If they listen to him, no problem. If they won't listen to him, so he's giving all his money to the rabbi. And so if they don't want to listen to the Savo, then the whole $10 million goes to the Rav, and they're out of luck. And that's this chayvus that he makes. Now what happens obviously is that after he dies, the Yerushim have no options. If they're going to contest the Savo, they're not going to get the money anyway. It's going to go to the Rav. And if they won't contest the Tzavah, so that's what the father wanted. So this is the Shtar, the way it's written. The Rav never ends up getting the money. What?
Doesn't make the Rav too popular.
No, the Rav doesn't end up getting the money because the kids are not going to contest it. How can they? Well, they'd never be crazy to contest it. If they contest his will, then the Rav gets the money. So why would they contest his will? What? No, if the Yerusha, no, this is always the case where the man in his will writes, I want my daughters and sons to yarshim equally, which is today the case. The man writes, I want my sons and daughters to inherit equally. So now, the sons are the ones that are going to say, no, we want the whole thing, I'll be din Torah. What he wrote doesn't matter, we pass him for ben hatam. So the answer to him will be that if you're going to contest it, there's a chayv in excess of the Yerusha to the Rav, and it will go to the Rav, and presumably the Rav will give it out according to what it says. Anyway, if it falls to the Rav, some will divide it. Anyway, according to what it says in the will, some will take his own percentage for... What? He's not makna, that's the thing. He could create a chayv. He's not makna a penny to the Rav. He creates a chayv. And that chayv exists based on the Tanakh.
A money that
doesn't exist. A chayv, even if you own nothing, you create a chayv. For me, I own $0, you can create a chayv. Chayv is not, he's not makna anything, he's just a chayv.
Why does
no
work?
You know, it works for anything. It could work if the man wants to leave his best friend, his Yerusha could work that way too. Yeah, they could. They could do it. He says if... It says that if... If somebody will contest it, so go to the Rav. Okay. And then we'll have to have the Rav. We'll have to... I'll have to be trusted to divide it evenly. That's the whole thing. What? The din of wine of Shemira. If it's written ways of Shemira, I'll have a din of Shemira. And then it's not a will either. It has to be Hakno. You have to machne. He has to take kiss over to know. But it's usually not written as a Shemira. Shemira is only if it's always a Shemira.
What can make it
easy? Yeah, the reason. So everybody asks, why doesn't the band just give out his money now? He doesn't want to give out his money now. He still wants to be able to have his money. He can't give it to the Rav now either.
Well, I'm giving the Rav, I owe the Rav $10,000 tonight. When he gets the money, he divides it up according to my stuff.
How's he going to get the money?
But
how does he get? Why does the money go to him? Up he's in Tyre, it doesn't go to him. Up he's in Tyre, goes to them. Oh, he makes the chayv. Well, what do you want the Rav to have the headache for? Then just listen to the will. The will gives him for someone in court. It's a very classy way to do it. The Rav can't keep it.
Why?
No, so I have to, they contest it. Why would they contest it?
The
so then they're giving a gift to the Rav.
It doesn't happen if someone says
and they
just they go crazy.
I never got a penny from it yet. No, it doesn't. It's only Yeruba the Ruba. It doesn't happen. There are people, there are families that have big fights over Yerush, as it said, and it happens. But well, this entire thing, it depends if it's written. If it's written properly, yes, it's legal. It could be written properly. If it's written improperly, there are certain quirks in American law that require certain types of certain language in the document. But the whole point is, for legal purposes, you don't need it. For legal purposes, the government will recognize the will. You don't need the shtag. The government will recognize the will. The government will force them to do the will. The only problem is that the daughter is a Yerusha Mayim. She's going to say, how can I enforce the will? I can't enforce the will. It's Shalik and Entire. Once the Shtar exists, then there's no problem. Because the men and the boys are not going to get it anyway.
But it's not mine.
I'm instructing my children that they better listen to what I want. That's it. That's the whole instruction. He has to listen to the will. He has to be willing to listen to the will, which he's supposed to keep it out of him anyway.
Does
he have to give nicer? Can he ask your father to say yes, right? He holds the fine of my son and he goes back after his name. I once called when Lubavitch was having their court case over the Rebbe's Yerusha. So the judge called me if I'm willing to be the mediator. They're looking for a Jewish rabbi to be an arbitrator. So I got a call here in the yeshiva from the judge. So I told him, you won't find nobody in their right mind is going to get involved in this fight. Why would anybody do it? As he said, by American law, you get a certain, I don't remember a percentage, the arbitrator gets a certain percentage. Then how much is it? So it was under $100,000 for just one sitting. You know, you sit once and you hear both sides and you're right. So I told him, you might find someone who'll do it. this is the halacha which is apitosis, and I mentioned to you earlier in this perek that the first perek of Gittin has a lot of tosis in that are yudias that are non Gittin and yonim. And certainly this sheet, this Rabbeinu Tam, is high up on the list of big ideas that are not a bad from a Gittin sugya. You would think to look for it in elsewhere. The Tosis is elsewhere also. But there's a similar Tosis in Ksubis, I think. I don't know. It's only mentioned Testavarov, and it's not explained. That's Rav Moshe. Could be Rav Moshe Elder was always mushmush. I don't know. Today nobody owes money. Everything is mush mush. I don't want you to do with the kaka though. But right, this is basically the halacha lemaisa that comes out from this. Another nekuda I don't remember. Somebody also wanted to mention about it, but okay. Oh, why is it called Chatzi Zachar? The reason it's called Chatzi Zachar is because it used to be 500-600 years ago when this was instituted. More 700-800 years ago when this was instituted. The custom was to give the girls a half chelik compared to the boys. The Torah says the boys yashar, not the girls. Society changed, and the girls were also it became a society where girls had more of a shaychus to bringing in money. And the minhag in Sfarad was to give a girl half a chelik and a boy a full chelik, so that if the man left, he had 4 boys and 4 girls, so the 4 girls would get equal of 2 boys. Each girl would get half. That's why it got a name, Shtar Chatzi Zachar. There's no requirement that it be Chatzi Zachar. And the Shtar is to have today. Don't say Chatzi Zachar. As a matter of fact, the Maimon, this Shtar, is that, let's say a man writes a will when he's 50 years old. And then, when he's 60, he changes it. Does he have to write a new Shtar Chatzi Zachar? No. Because the way we write it, the Shtar Chatzi Zachar doesn't say what the will is. It just creates a chayiv. If the will is not followed, which will? The last existing will at the time of the death. So the mindset it is two things. First of all, you don't have to rewrite it every time a person writes a will over. And secondly, the Rav doesn't have to know all the pratim in a man's Yerusha. People don't want that, don't necessarily want to share all the information what they plan to do with the Yerush. The Rav doesn't want to know. And it works for money that he makes later, because it says that tonight, the Tanai is, if at the time of my death my will is followed, yes, not. So, you're not Mac, you can just create a chayv. Remember, you can create a chayv even if you don't know, if you're penniless. The person's penniless, borrows money, it also creates a chayv. So a person could create a chayv. Question is how the chayv is created, what type of kinyan. So that will we may have to discuss. Yeah, so you have to get a young, either young rav, or which it usually is. Usually it's maybe the chayv will go to Yarshan. Chayv the chayv will go to Yarshan. Is it Meshuvah? You mean?
No,
you know, like, you force the children to pay. The halacha, you should know, in all of Shas, you're not going to find anywhere that if a man dies, it says his karka is meshuvah to chayvus, but not as metalfa. The halacha is that all of a man's assets are meshuvah to yarshim. It's a takonis haga'inim. It's one of the takonis that was made after the Shas was completed. The Rambam brings a takonis haga'inim, that the takonis hashuk, a man's going to borrow money, he'll die, and he wants to pay. So the first hashuk that all of a man's assets that he owns are mishubit his chayvis, and the kivayga says it's a chelik and kibarav ein that the children should pay up the father's chayvis, with that explanation. Without it, halacha certainly is that a person's nechasim are mishubit la'chamisa to pay up his chayvis. Right, this is the halacha l'maisa avenue of this whole this rabbeinu tam and these four shittas in the Rishayim. Getting back to the lumbus of the inyan, I told you that there were four shittas: Rashi, Taisus, Ramban, and the Rav. There is another big nafkamina between what seem to be similar shittas: Rashi and the Rav. Rashi says mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis is across the board. The Ram says mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis is across the board. They both say the same thing. They don't hold up Rabbeinu Tam's exception. They don't hold up Ramban's exception. They both say that in our Mishnah's case there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. But it appears from Rashi and Yadal and Amid Beis that there's a very, very big nafkamina between them. The Ram learns mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis is not a kinyan. Nothing is nikna. It's just a mitzvah on the children. When the children have a mitzvah to listen to whatever the nifter says. That's mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. The children have a mitzvah to do whatever he said. That's the way the Rav said. The Rav even said that if the children are ketanim, they don't have to listen. Or if the children, or as I mentioned, if the children sell it, b'di'evet, mechir is a good mechir. That's shitas harav. Shitas Rashi is that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis is a zikoy, a chus. It's not that the children have this mitzvah to listen. It's that the etzem, the money is nikna, b'shas nisa, to the person who the meis was mitzvah. That the money taka goes over. When our Gemara says, holoi moshach, it's shaloi k'man diyomar, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, which means, if you hold mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, you don't need a meshicha, you don't need a kinyan. Just the fact that it's divrei ha'meis, he wrote a will, it's automatic, when he dies, the money goes to the people who he instructed it to go to. It's a zikoy, it goes directly, And it comes out that Rashi and the Ram, who hold, they both say Mitzvah Kain Dereya Meses across the board. But they appear to be holding opposite treatise in the way it works. The Ram learns it's a mitzvah to listen. The Yarshin Yarshin, it's a mitzvah to listen. Rashi learns, Akadekach, that it's a zikoy, that when a man writes a will and then he dies, that money automatically, on his death, transfers to the people he left the will to. Nothing. There's only Yarshim if he didn't leave a Tzavah. If you left a Tzavah, this will kind of Ve'ameis means, automatically it goes to whoever he left a Tzavah, and there's no Dinei Yerusha. No one's getting the mitzvah. The best for forcing it is getting the mitzvah. This will kind of Ve'ameis. It's not Mr. Sasei, specific Sasei. It just means that you have to do what he said. This is what he said. So Rashi Shita is that it's automatic. And there's enough Gemina we'll have on Daf Yud Dalet on the days, a case where a man instructs a Shliach to give money to Pliny. And the Mishaleach dies, and the Tzava dies. And afterwards, the Pliny dies before he got it. While the money is on the way, the recipient also died. According to Rashi Shita, the money goes to the Yarshim of that recipient. Pashtus, the recipient, died. It was never given to him. Now it goes back to the father. The father's not alive. It goes back to his kids. It's the Pashtus. If somebody sends money to someone else, and the sender doesn't die, just gives it to someone, bring it to Pliny. It comes there, Pliny's dead. You don't give it to Yarshim. You give it back to the giver. If the giver wants, you give it to the Yarshim. Not pleased to give it to the Yarshim just because he said, I want to give it to Pliny. But if the giver died first, once he died, Rashi Shita is, it's a zikoy. It becomes the recipient. And if the recipient then dies before the money gets to him, it goes to his Yarshim. That's what Rashi says in Yadal on the day, if you want to give him that. That's because Rashi Shita is that it's a zikoy. That once the money is given over, it's a zikoy to the recipient. What? It's not al tzach and lozah.
I know.
Well, that's either it's gonna. Those are different terms that we have. Why? There's no ten kasul here. Either Rashi says he didn't say ten. He said a lashon that we don't say kasul. Right? Rashi, are you getting the mission?
It's a point to what Rashi says. It's kind of hard to call a mitzvah a kind of a mitzvah. I think you're saying you have to do it. Yeah, because there's no ifs or ands or buts. You have to give it to whoever it is.
It's not a mitzvah in the sense of you get a mitzvah, like you get a point. It's just the way
it's
all the tzavah.
Mitzvah
here means you're commanded. You're commanded to be the kind of the rabbi. It doesn't mean you get a mitzvah for this. Mitzvah kind of to you. You get a mitzvah. According to the Ram, the Yarshim get it, they have a mitzvah. If they're kind of it, doesn't work. It's a tzivu. I don't know who gets the mitzvah, so to speak. It's just automatic. That's right. It's more like tzivu than mitzvah. According to the Ran, this is all to come into Rabbanim, I think. Tosfos holds it to come into Rabbanim. Would all Rishonim agree on that? Tosfos holds it still can't be amazing if it comes into Rabbanim. And could be others agree, disagree. The if it's a takkad rabbanu, it's hard to ask. I mean, because we could understand it full well that the rabbanu gave a man a right to give away he wants. It's hard to ask. If you want to create, you created the right side of this, then it would be difficult. But as long as it's a rabbanu, so we can understand the rabbanu wanted that a man should have the power to leave. To leave his money wherever he wants to leave it.
What happened to the wife?
The wife, you should just know, a wife, contrary to what people think, a wife doesn't, apikaira doesn't yarshin a husband. A wife has rights, apiksuba, to live off the Yerusha for as long as she lives and until she remarries. But that means a wife has a right to live in the house. The same house, live in the same style, the same level of living that she had all her life. That's That's b'chaya b'sachaya. When you hear it, they're reading it suba under the chuppah. They say b'chaya or b'sachaya. Some say b'chaya b'maisa. People don't really like to read b'maisa under the chuppah. So you read b'chaya b'sachaya. But b'chaya b'sachaya, that means when I live, right? The sephara to be paid from all my nechassim. He says the chol shvar arik nistim. He says additionally tchayis kol shemaya. So it was nima dakaspoi b'chaya b'sachaya. That's what he's saying. He's saying all my money is mishabatar. So a wife doesn't inherit, but a wife has a right to the money to the extent that she needs it. Well, she has control to the extent that she has to be assured the money will be there for her. If she's 60 years old, she probably can live another 25, 30 years. So if the Yorshim can't say, we'll give you the money every week, she can feel confident that she has it.
That's the right thing.
They have to leave her a Karen that will allow her to live the rest of her natural life. Now, if the man left a will that leaves the money to his wife, then Vaita will be totally the halachas of a will. You know, if a person leaves his wife as a beneficiary, then smush lish, behed shlish, and then it's enough. He did it to the wife. The Machna Ephraim makes a pshara between Rashi and the Ran. Rashi and the Ran are very vite one from the other. The Ran, they look to be the same shita, they're very vite. The Ran says it's just a mitzvah. And the Rashi holds that it's automatic. So the Machna Ephraim in Hilchos Tzchiya is Chof Tes, makes a middle ground between them. He says maybe you could even learn this into Rashi and the Ran, that it depends on the lashon of the tzavah. It depends on the language of the will. If the tzavah says that the man instructs his children to give out the money, that's the lashon, which is a common lashon. So then, if he's telling it, the yarshim that they should do it, so then we'll go with the rat, that it's mitzvah l'kayim d'vei ames. The father's instructing the yarshim to take the money and give it out so and so. If the language of the will is that he's making a shliach, like the Rashi and Yedalan on the base. The man made a shliach, he said, go give the money to Pliny. And then he died and Pliny died, so Rashi says, it goes to the Yarshim, he's like. When the man said such a lashon to Nu, give it to him, go and give it to him, then we'll go with Rashi Shita, that it's automatic, it's a zikui. As soon as he dies, it's a zikui based on what he wanted. But if the lashon of the tzavah is that the children should do it, the Machna Ephraim says, not mistaber, it's a zikui. The lashon is, I instruct my children to do this with my inheritance, so then it's a tzavah to the children. There's a tremendous nafkamina in all this. I'll tell you a very big nafkamina. Nafkamina is a get to me. What happens if somebody, before he dies, tells his child, that I want you to give tzedakah, I want you to give $100,000 here and $100,000 here. Then he dies. So the child does it. Now let's say the child has $2 million Yerusha. I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened to me. Let's say the child has a $2 million Yerusha and the father instructed him to give out $200,000. Could he say, alright, I have to give Meiser from the Yerusha, you have to give Meiser. So it works out very well. I inherited $2 million, and my father says, I should give out $200,000. So I gave my Meiser. Or do we say, no, the father gave the $200,000. The father gave, he was still alive. He gave $200,000. So the son Yarshin, $1.8 million. So the $1.8 million, now he has to give Meiser. A very big nafkamina. If you hold like Rashi, that it's a zikui, that the father's saying it, and then when he dies, it's a zikui directly from the father to the tzedakah, then the child can't take it off from his nice. If you hold like the Ran, it's a mitzvah for the children to do it, so that then it's the child's mind. He has a mitzvah to listen to his father. His father told him where to give it. He's not supposed to be Mishana. Now how much to give? He's not supposed to be Mishana. Well, Maisa, he's the one giving the tzedakah. So he could take it as his Maisa.
The instructions.
What? tzedakah was the child, she'd get nicer. No, the father wanted it. She go to this tzedakah. I mean, clearly that's what he wanted. She go to this tzedakah, right? What? What's the chiyuv? According to the Ran or Rashi? Oh, so that's according to the Ran, it's mitzvah, the kind of emes. The Ran holds mitzvah means it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. According to the Ran, it's a zikah. Now, lemaisa, since we passed in that if it's only if it's mushlash, like the Rabbeinu Tam, if the money is not mushlash, the atshlish, or if the shlish doesn't have instructions to give to the tzedakah, then there's certainly the sons. The sons tzedakah. Now, the kamino will only be if he was mashlish it, that he left as a recipient of tzedakah, as a beneficiary, that would be a kamino. But since we passed like Rabbeinu Tam, in most cases, the beneficiary is the child or the wife, and there are instructions to give tzedakah, so then they could come off the nice amount.
If that's how it's set up, he's supposed to say, okay, this is going to this person, it's going to that person. It's not the son. No matter what, it's not the son.
No, it's only if it's, in most cases today, it's mushlish, and the beneficiary is the son. And then the son is being instructed to give it to tzedakah.
But
if it's mushlish straight, then the chinami, then the father gave it, not the son.
You
don't need muscles to come from
the sun.
Right. Yeah. So this would be an afternoon in all of this. Right, there's in the Chidusha of Shmuel, there's one more Nikuda here. The Chidusha of Shmuel is the Simitez Vav Aisvav. And when I saw it, I was a bit surprised that he would say it. He says that an explanation of the concept of mitzvah l'kayim d'vrei ames. The whole shita k'dislay, he's not going into the shitas, he's explaining the Gemara later. But the way mitzvah l'kayim d'vrei ames works, the way Shmuel explains it, is that the child, that the mace, even after he dies, has chusim in his money to do what he desired. In other words, even though we say Mason can't own things, but the things that he wanted, that he was mitzvah, he still has an ownership in his money to the extent to do the things that he wanted. Which is the chiddush of Rav Moshe Rav Shimon, I mentioned it was 2 days ago, who said this chiddush, that a man could, a mace, even though a mace doesn't own things, but to the extent that it's l'kvaydai, he owns things. And even though it's a chiddush of Rav Shmuel Zosk is a Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkab. It was a Talmud of Rav Shimon. He's going to Rav Shimon's Shita. It's above Messiah Simchavav. That a mace has ownership in things that are l'kvaydai. I looked, he has a makar in the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tshuvas HaRashba is talking about someone who collected money for a matzeva, for a certain person. Collect the money for a matzeva. Now the Yarshim want the money, they don't want to spend so much on a matzeva. The Rashba said the mace owns the money. The mace, for what's his own matzeva, that the mace still has ownership in the money. Not only still, money that they were mizaka, even if there's patira, for his matzeva. Even though we have a klal, mace can't own things. The Rashba seems to say this is saying, that the mace can own things that are l'kvaydai, he still has ownership.
So,
this is Lashon, I should have brought up the Lashon. He seems to Neman that when a person gives a tzavah, now this all fits well, it fits maybe well with Rashi, the Ran, it doesn't fit well with Rabbeinu Tam, Daf the Mushlish. But to that extent, yeah. I just reminded, he brings in another nice raya. If a ger dies, there's no yarshim, his money is still used to pay his balei chayiv, even not karka. Karka is meshubet, that's pashut. But a ger dies, and he owes money in the grocery, right? It's not even shtar, there's no shibbet karkos. A man dies and he owed money to somebody. We take from his the things he owned to pay up the chayv. Factor of Shimon. Why? Why should we take the pay up? It's hefker. Man died. It's hefker. He owed money. It's tough on them. Zakeh, the same is say. The man who died still had ownership in his money, the kvayda, to pay up his chayvus, the tzurmi kvayda, and to that extent, he still owes it. If it will be metalpil, it will be bad. The truth is, if it's a milvah peh, it will even be back harkleis and think gemara. That's a milvah peh, so back harkleis too. Harkleis is not mishubit, it's a milvah peh. I shouldn't say that. If it's soul, it's not mishubit. But here, lechayr, it's soul. If it's hefker, someone was kind of, so the person was kind of already, so no shibudim. But the answer is of Rav Shimon, the man still has kinyan in his things. The Gaon's katakana was that it's meshuvah, that they necessarily say it becomes hefker, it's meshuvah. Anyway, he means in the stomach that after the Gemara by Karka, they will all have the Karka. Right, so these are the sages, which I hope you'll chazer and remember. The next line of Gemara is also, we have another tesis, which is very sadistic for Shas Inyan. And that's the next line, Maimit Shloshton. Again, Maimit Shloshton is not a Gittin Sugya, but the tesis Tenuman of the Pliny is another one. Really, I wish when I started the parak, I would have marked off those places that are Yosefus from the places. But again, Tenuman al Pliny, make sure you learn the places. There's a tshuva in the tshuvas of the Kiva Eger. Okay, look Aleph. Simin Reish Chaf Aleph, Oizvav and Zayin. It's actually a tshuva written by Rav Shlomo Eger. It's printed in the letter 2 of the Kiva Eger. It's Reish Chaf Aleph, Oizvav and Zayin. In Oizvav, he learns one Yosef from this places, and in Oizayin, he learns a second Yosef. Two, one's a Shasi side and one's a Gittin side, from Tesis to Numana. Rav Nachum has a piece on it in the Chiddush Rav Nachum on the Tesis. So we're going to get bogged down a little bit again. We're going to spend time on this Tesis. But once I get to Shlim Meirah, we're going to run a little on the other days.